KNX News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Well, 28 days to go until Election Day. On today's Countdown 2024, we will take a look at yet another conventional wisdom in politics that has been turned on its head in the era of Donald Trump, that labor unions always vote Democratic. Well, that's no longer the case. And at the end of today's show, we will hear from the Democrat hoping to unseat veteran Republican Congressman Ken Calvert. But first, this.
CNN has reported some pretty revealing excerpts from journalist Bob Woodward's forthcoming book titled War, which describes scenes from the Biden White House, including President Biden calling Israel's prime minister an SOB and a bad guy. It also has a few pretty telling anecdotes about former President Donald Trump. A Trump aide told Woodward that after leaving the White House, the former president has spoken with Russian President Vladimir Putin at least seven times. And while Trump was still in the White House at the height of the COVID pandemic, he sent Putin a batch of those highly coveted COVID testing kits.
Kamala Harris continues her media blitz today, appearing on The View and The Howard Stern Show tonight. She will appear on Late Night with Stephen Colbert. The vice president did get caught in somewhat of a rhetorical trap in a few of these interviews when she was asked two different times what she would do differently than President Biden. The first time she was asked, Harris said she would do nothing differently from Biden. The second time she was asked, she said she planned to name a Republican to her cabinet. All of this comes as Harris tries to gently move out of Biden's shadow in order to establish her own political identity.
A new New York Times Siena College poll shows Vice President Harris with a 3-point national lead over the former president, Donald Trump. That is an improvement for the Democrat over the last Times poll from early September that showed both of them essentially tied. The poll results suggest that Harris is making gains with voters, even if small ones, on questions about temperament, trust, and change that can be critical in a presidential race.
For generations, it was practically a given that the leadership and rank and file of labor unions would be solid supporters of Democratic candidates. Well, then along came Donald Trump, and in the nearly 10 years since he first burst onto the political scene, suddenly organized labor has become a political wild card. Suresh Naidu is a labor economist and professor of public affairs at Columbia University, where he studies the labor unions and their political involvement. Suresh, before we talk to you, I want you to listen to this. This is Teamsters President Sean O'Brien talking with a podcaster, Theo Vaughn, and describing the disappointment with Democrats.
So they're turning their back on you. So now you guys aren't supporting.
So listen, I can't speak for any other unions, but I'm going to speak for the Teamsters Union. I represent 1.3 million members, and you know, we've said all along, we took over. Like, we want a return on our investment. We want to be like big business. We make an investment, we want a return. And that return, what these politicians are, supporting our issues, that's going to protect jobs and promote unionization throughout the whole country. And, you know, they've let us down. They've let us down.
Suresh, what happened? I mean, Donald Trump, the, you know, alleged billionaire, the man of the people, and the Democrats not exactly favored now by some unions?
Yeah. So I think this was not just Donald Trump, to be honest. I think there's like a long trend of the relatively educated favoring the Democratic Party. And insofar as unions have traditionally represented people with less than a college degree, that divergence has just kind of been reflected inside the labor movement. And, you know, it's also not the case that unions always supported the Democrats. I'll give you an example. Like, in 1938, the AFL did not support Roosevelt. And there's like kind of, I think, been historically a tension inside the labor movement over whether or not they should be just loyal Democrats, or like whether or not they should be like President O'Brien said, you know, basically looking for parties to work on their own behalf. So, you know, I think this is like it's a long-standing trend, but it's not necessarily a sudden break with Trump. And just to put, I was looking up some numbers in preparation for this. It was just, you know, basically among white men, union members are only about 5% more likely to be Democrat than non-union members. So while there is an effect, it's not gigantic. And it's a little bit of a tall order to expect that like unions would be able to kind of overcome all of the political polarization and kind of misinformation that sort of characterizes modern politics. And so, you know, while I think you're right, and it's surprising to see leadership break in this direction, I think it's actually a reflection in some ways of how democratic the American labor movement is, in the sense that they recognize that their members, and if you look at Teamsters polls, this is reflected, like their members are sort of in a slight majority for Trump. So it would be really not great of union leaders to kind of just not respect the preferences of their membership and just kind of endorse whichever candidate they supported. And I think it's a decent, even though, you know, I really very much doubt that Trump. Yeah.
Yeah, but Suresh, since you mentioned Roosevelt in 1938, but since all the New Deal programs went through, those were really the foundation for much of what collective bargaining became in the decades after that, and not exactly the things that the Republican Party has been noted for. Things like, you know, reducing the work week, things like a better employer-sponsored health care, that kind of stuff.
I totally agree, and I don't think the Republican Party is going to do anything economically for you know, union members or people like union members. But I also think the Democratic Party has not done anything for union members, you know, at least since the 70s. We've not, through all the Democratic presidencies of the last 50 years, we've never gotten labor law reform. I think starting with Clinton, it was just kind of like, and going through Obama, it was just never the case that unions were like the number one priority, and restoring unionization was the number one priority of the Democratic Party. And so I think, you know, if the Democrats are looking, we're sort of treating unions as a freebie without doing very much for them. And I think this is sort of the chickens coming home to roost on that.
We are speaking with Suresh Naidu, a labor economist and professor of public affairs at Columbia University. So we're talking about the unions, the labor unions, Teamsters and the International Association of Firefighters. They chose not to endorse Harris or Trump for this election. I have seen some linking this decision to not endorse Harris to an essential hesitation in accepting women in key leadership roles. I mean, is that what this is about to some extent, that they're not open to a woman actually being president?
I don't think that's, I'm sure there's some union members and individuals that might have those opinions, like you'll find those everywhere. I think it's much more like as the leadership sort of decides who to support, they're thinking strategically and they're thinking about representing the interests of their members. And I think if they're, you know, and I think the Biden administration, to its credit, tried really hard to do right by unions. But at the end of the day, inside the Democratic Party, there's no credible, it's really, really hard inside the Democratic Party to find a constituency that's like that. I think blue collar unions in particular could point to and say those people will make sure that people like us have a voice at the table. And so I think they're trying, but I think it's been very hard.
I mean, you had Biden out on the picket lines, right? During some of the strikes that were going on. I mean, so
I think they really tried, and they did, like, Biden did more for unions than any president in a very long time. But I think it's hard to expect this one presidency to reverse like almost the generational sort of abandonment of unions the Democratic Party did. And then, like I said at the beginning, that union members themselves are sort of subject to the same forces of political polarization and misinformation as everyone else. And so put those two things together, and I think it's a little bit difficult to imagine that unions could make to their members like a really credible pitch that, you know, this Democratic Party will look out for you. And I agree, like Biden did a lot, but the party as a whole still does an institutionalized union interest inside of it.
So what if you were a union leader, what would you do as a pitch?
I would ask for like cabinet and very high ups in the Democratic Party and in the policy positions to come from the ranks of labor. and come from like people without a college degree having real kind of, you know, access to having a seat at the table. And so until the Democrats can really kind of do that, I'm sort of I'm not sure they'll be able to really point to people, say to people with less than college, that we're representing your interests. And I think that's sort of like the key economic thing, at least, for making the pitch.
All right. Very good. Very interesting discussion about unions. That's Suresh Naidu, who is a labor economist and professor of public affairs at Columbia University.
Well, he is trying to unseat one of the longest serving elected Republicans in California's modern history. We are talking with congressional candidate Will Rollins next on Countdown 2024.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Thanks for sticking with us for the Tuesday edition. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero. In California's 41st congressional district, incumbent Congressman Ken Calvert is the longest serving Republican member of California's congressional delegation. At 71 years old, Calvert has been representing the Corona area of Riverside County since 1993. His Democratic opponent is on the opposite end of just about every spectrum.
Yeah, well, Rollins is a 39-year-old former federal prosecutor who worked on counterterrorism at the U.S. Department of Justice. Rollins did run against Calvert in 2022, but lost then by 5 points. He is also running now as an openly gay candidate. Last week, at Countdown 2024, we talked with Congressman Calvert. Today, we welcome Will Rollins. Will, the last poll that we looked at from a couple of weeks ago seemed to show that you're just about in a tie now with your Republican opponent. How do you think you're going to manage to pull ahead?
Well, we're feeling good, actually, about that poll, because it showed that of all the competitive congressional districts in California, we have the highest voter enthusiasm on the Democratic side of anybody in the state. And that's a very good sign, because this election is going to come down to turnout. And we know that our voters in California 41 are fired up for change. You know, and Calvert was first elected when I was 8 years old in 1992. And by the way, thank you for calling me 39, because I just turned 40 like 10 days ago.
Okay. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, number one sign of a midlife crisis is if you're running for Congress. So I'm right in the middle of that. So I think folks have just seen a guy sit there for three decades, and they are so excited to finally have a real option. You know, this was a very heavily Republican district for a very, very long time. But now we have roughly even split in voter registration. And we know we're winning independent voters, too, which is going to be critical to flipping the district.
Is that why you decided to go for a round two, since you did lose 2 years ago?
Look, I think what's at stake from the midterms to now continues to be freedom and democracy. And I was a federal prosecutor for 5 years. I worked in counterterrorism, loved the job. But after January 6th, when I helped some of my colleagues in Washington round up folks who had attacked the U.S. Capitol, we had a member of Congress who was voting to decertify the election, voting against the January 6th committee, and then calling for dropping charges. So with Trump at the top of the ticket again, and somebody like Calvert who will vote to overturn the results of an election, I don't think we can afford to take a chance on somebody like that. And I think all of us as Americans, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, we should care about the rule of law and our democracy, because if we keep electing people who are willing to stay in office and say and do anything to enrich themselves and keep power, we're never going to be able to lower costs. And that is the number one issue in this election, lower costs. And we have a member of Congress who's seen his net worth go up by $20 million since he was first elected, in part by using earmarks to benefit his own personal real estate investments.
We're talking, by the way, with Democratic candidate for Congress, Will Rollins. Last week, we spoke to his opponent, who is Republican Congressman Calvert, who, as we pointed out, is the longest-serving Republican member of California's congressional delegation representing the Corona area of Riverside County since 1993. And you were saying just now, Will, about you know, one of the problems is he's been there that long, and you say he's enriched himself by being there that long. That does raise an interesting question that you seldom hear discussed, and that is that, you know, when the country was founded, the office of being in the House of Representatives was never considered to be a lifetime position. So you're a young guy, you just turned 40, you said. Once you get the job done, do you say right now that you'll leave?
I hope I like it. You know, it's a tough place to work, but we do need public servants in DC, and everybody has a reason for running, right? And you heard me talk a little bit about my why, but I love the Mark Twain quote about, you know, diapers and politicians needing to be changed often. And I will not survive in Congress for 30 plus years. I don't think anybody should go there for 30 plus years. That's why I've been campaigning on term limits. And, you know, there are people in my own party who disagree with me, but a big theme of the campaign has been anti-corruption, good government reforms that should apply to people in both parties. And my first job out of college was for a Republican governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who used to say, if you're pissing off both the Democrats and the Republicans with good government reforms, you're probably doing something right. And I think that's true. I want to ban members of Congress from trading stock. I want a lifetime ban on lobbying by former members of Congress. And as somebody who'd never run for political office, I can tell you that the amount of money in our system is disgusting. You shouldn't have to raise $11 million to win a congressional race in the United States. It's a huge disincentive for normal people to serve in office.
All right, Will, hold that thought. We have to take a break. Will Rollins, Democratic candidate for California's 41st congressional district, staying with us for the rest of Countdown 2024.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
And welcome back to the Tuesday edition of Countdown 2024. Along with Margaret Carrero, I'm Charles Feldman.
We are finishing up our conversation with Will Rollins, the man who wants to unseat veteran Republican Congressman Ken Calvert in the 41st House District.
You were saying before that, before the break, that you are running, part of your platform anyway, is to have term limits. So what is the ideal, in your view, amount of terms that somebody in Congress ought to serve before they say goodbye?
Here's an honest answer. I don't know. I think we have to figure out what the right balance is between experience and new blood. And I think we need more of us in the House who are debating this, because it's really time to encourage folks who are millennials, who are Gen Z voters, to say we have a place in our government. We need new ideas. We need fresh ideas. We need new leadership. And for so many of us, like millennials, like me, we can't even imagine serving in government, because we see folks who have been there for three plus decades, and you look at how much money it takes to win a campaign, and a lot of people aren't willing to do it. And I understand that. I mean, I understand that viscerally after having campaigned for almost 3 years. But as someone who worked in law enforcement alongside people in both parties, as somebody who worked for a Republican governor, even though I've been a lifelong Democrat, I think now is a time when those of us who believe in the Constitution, the rule of law, need to step up to the plate and inspire a new generation of leaders to continue to lead this country in the 21st century.
We're running out of time, Will, but just quickly, immigration, a big issue. What would you do in Congress to deal with the border situation?
Well, as someone who prosecuted members of MS-13, the Sinaloa cartel, fentanyl traffickers, I know we need modern border security. That means anti-tunneling technology, thermal imaging, more boots on the ground, and we've got to get rid of people in Congress like Ken Calvert who talk a good game on border security, but who refuse to support the toughest bipartisan border security bill in a generation because Trump told them to kill the bill. And when I get there, I'm going to support that bill. I'm going to support our law enforcement personnel, proud to have their support in this second campaign and looking forward to winning this election in November.
All right. Thank you so much, Will Rollins, the Democratic candidate for the 41st congressional district.
On Wednesday's Countdown 2024, the head of CBS News Elections, that's the man tasked with making the extra stressful projections about winners and losers on election night. He will join us to take us behind the scenes of a major network's campaign coverage. And don't forget, the debate tonight is tonight. That's the debate involving the LA County District Attorney George Gascon and Nathan Hochman, who is opposing him. That is going to be live at 5 o'clock tonight on KNX News 97.1 FM. And if you miss it at 5, we will rerun it for you at 8 o'clock tonight. And remember, as for Countdown 2024, we are here every afternoon at 2:30 through Election Day. If you missed the show, catch up on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024 and follow the show.